We're going to begin on campus, where the dean of UNC's School of Education has announced he's stepping down. Fouad Abdelkhalik has served as dean since 2016, but he's leaving the position on July 1st to take over as provost at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. In a statement, Abdelkhalik described his 8 years as dean as, quote, a highlight of my career. Turning to the weather, meteorological experts are beginning to sound the alarm about an extra strong Atlantic hurricane season. WNCN reporting officials at Colorado State are projecting 23 named storms this year, including 11 hurricanes, of which 5 will be Category 3 or higher. That's just a prediction, but it's more than they've ever predicted in a year since they started releasing projections 30 years ago. La Nina winds in the Pacific are partly to blame, along with the usual suspect climate change. Officials say the ocean is already as warm right now as it typically would be in June, and the warmer the ocean, the stronger the storms. In related news, this month, the town of Hillsborough is sponsoring a climate challenge with events nearly every day. Speaking with 97.9 The Hill earlier this week, Mayor Mark Bell discussed the challenge and previewed some of the events happening this Sunday.
So I have a passport, and where the events are listed, and the idea is that you take your passport with you, and you'll get a stamp for each of the events that you attend. So far, I'm batting 1,000. So I got my stamps from yesterday. I got my stamps from today. I'm going to attempt to attend all of them where I don't have a scheduling conflict. And a lot of them are very short, or some of them are do on your own kinds of things. If I can get to 85% of the events, I'll be thrilled. There's a kind of a series of events this Saturday. It's called Talks Along the Eno, but there are 3 or 4 different talks, not all going on at the same time. And one of them is about the community garden that's on the Riverwalk. And another one is with Beverly Payne. She is a tribal leader with the Okinichi Band of the Siponi Nations, and we will meet at the replica Okinichi Village in River Park at 10 o'clock and hear from her perspective how the tribe has historically approached issues of sustainability. And then there is a talk about the Eno River itself, and this is from I think the title might be Riverkeeper, with the Eno River Association, I believe. And then at the same time, in general the same location, people are invited to visit the Eno Farmers Market, which is just a couple hundred feet away from the replica village in River Park, and check out all the locally and organic grown produce in the Hillsborough area.
That's Hillsborough Mayor Mark Bell speaking there. You can get the full conversation and more info about the climate challenge on our website, chapelborough.com. Down now to Pittsboro, where residents may be noticing more construction activity in town parks. Town officials say that's not just happening now, it's likely to continue throughout the year, as 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey reports.
This fiscal year, we've put close to $1 million into existing parks.
Pittsboro Mayor Kyle Shipp recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill about the investment the town's made in their parks system.
That's somewhere close to 10% of our budget. And so it's a really significant investment, particularly for a town of our size.
New playground equipment was recently installed at Kiwanis Park, and upgrades are in progress at many other parks. Shipp pointed to several ongoing projects as examples, including adding bathrooms to Mary Hayes Barbara Holmes Park and adding a new play structure at Rock Ridge Park. Probably the most visible project is the reimagining of McClanahan Street Park.
Just completely redoing it, redoing the basketball courts, the tennis courts, adding the baseball field there.
The existing baseball field across from Pittsboro Elementary School will become part of the park, with the town taking that responsibility from the county. Another addition to the park that's been several years in the making is a skate park. Years of community support and fundraising resulted in the skate park getting the go-ahead earlier this year. Town expects construction on that addition to begin in November, along with even more improvements.
Soon, we also hope to add bathrooms and a shade structure there, and that's going to be near some new development as well. So, I mean, that is really going to be a signature park here in the future.
There will also be new parks coming to Pittsboro in the near future, Shipp explains.
So we've got about 55 acres that Chatham Park gave the town on the Moncure Road. And that is actually, we had it out for bid. I think we've probably selected someone by now. I don't know who it is, but for design of that park to help us figure out what does fit there and what works best with all of our other parks. and to get to a cost for that, because we know it's going to be significant because it's such a large area.
A different part of the Chatham Park development will have a different town park.
We are also working on the design of another park that's up by, going to be up by the YMCA that they're currently building too. That'll be a town park next to there with some athletic fields.
Mayor Shipp says the balance between upgrading their current parks and preparing new parks that will be needed in the future is all part of the town's strategy.
Trying to, you know, work on this master plan, really, of like, we've been making this big investment in our current parks, but then also our staff is really looking ahead to the next, you know, 10, 15 years and what the park needs are, and making sure that they're well distributed through new development.
Part of that park's plan also includes enhancing the character of Pittsboro's historic downtown.
Downtown is really something we consider part of our parks. We've got the pocket park there. We've got the pop-up park. And so continuing to add things to the pop-up park, a play structure will go in soon. We'll have bathrooms there soon. And then also, you know, one of the things, part of that investment this year is adding a downtown maintenance worker. So we have someone that, you know, specifically keeps up downtown and just continues to, you know, plant flowers and do some of those things we don't think about as much, but just really makes our downtown even better.
Park upgrades will be ongoing throughout 2024. The town expects the tennis courts and basketball courts at McClanahan Street Park to reopen later this summer. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Andrew Stuckey.
Finally, we're getting closer and closer to Election Day 2024, and polls suggest the presidential race is going to be extremely close. So what might be the impact of third parties on the race? The No Labels Party now says they're not running a candidate, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running, and Democratic advocates have been worried that he and other third-party candidates may swing the election to Donald Trump. But there may not be as much cause for worry as it first appeared. Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling.
Interesting. Earlier in the cycle, we were seeing very clearly that most votes for a third party candidate would be coming away from Biden, and that the impact of a third party candidate really would be to throw the election to Trump. I still think that's probably true overall, but we're not seeing that as strongly as we did earlier in the cycle. For instance, we did a poll in Georgia a couple weeks ago where we included Robert F. Kennedy and Cornel West as options that people could vote for. And then we asked again who people would vote for if those weren't options. And the margin between Biden and Trump was the same in that particular poll, whether you included the third party candidates or not. So I think we're getting to more of a point where that may just be a wash sort of in terms of the impact that it has. And it's also, I think, simply not going to have that much of an impact. Right now, third party candidates are polling around 10%. And historically, what we've seen is that third party candidates in November get a pretty small fraction of what they're polling at this time of year. So I think that even if Robert F. Kennedy is on the ballot, even if No Labels runs a candidate, even if there's Green Party and Libertarian and that sort of thing, I'd be surprised if the third-party vote adds up to much more than 5 or 6%.
And it's Tom Jensen speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. 6:20, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by New Hope Church. A wild game yesterday in Charlottesville ended with a loss for Carolina baseball, 14-11 to Virginia. It was an offensive affair, as expected. UNC trailed 6-2 after just one inning. They roared back to take an 11-6 lead after three, but then couldn't score again as the Cavaliers came back and took the lead for good in the eighth. That snaps a 9-game winning streak for the Tar Heels, but they can get back on the winning track when they face the Cavs again tonight at 6. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Series wraps up again tomorrow, first pitch at 1 p.m. Also in action today, Tar Heel softball is in Durham for game one of a 3-game series at second-ranked Duke. First pitch tonight is at 6. That series continues tomorrow at 1 and Sunday at 7. Carolina women's tennis hosts Virginia at 5 o'clock tonight. They also host Virginia Tech on Sunday. And Tar Heel gymnast Isabel Schaefer and Lolly Dekanoidze are in Florida for NCAA regional competition. competition starting at 1. Also this weekend, UNC volleyball is at NC State tomorrow at 2. UNC women's lacrosse hosts Virginia Tech tomorrow, while the men are at Virginia. Both of those matches start at noon. And the Tar Heel men's golf team is in Augusta, Georgia for a tournament starting tomorrow. Sadly, not at Augusta National, but the Forest Hills Golf Club. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for several Tar Heels, athletes and coaches alike. First, another one for basketball star R.J. Davis, just named a first-team All-American by CBS Sports. Former Tar Heel Caleb Love made the third team with Arizona. In baseball, UNC sophomore Casey Cook is on the midseason watch list for USA Baseball's Golden Spikes Award, which goes to the top amateur player in the nation, first Tar Heel to make that list in 6 years. And big congrats to Matt Jednak, head fencing coach at UNC, just named ACC Men's Fencing Coach of the Year after leading Carolina to its first conference title since 1980. Less of a good week for UNC field hockey head coach Aaron Mattson, who has been denied a chance to try out for the U.S. national team ahead of the Summer Olympics. No word why, but UNC Board of Trustees Chair John Pryor and other Carolina officials have all issued statements urging Team USA to reconsider. For her part, Mattson issued her own statement yesterday saying the decision, quote, leaves my heart heavy, but I have moved forward, and she is still hoping to play for Team USA in the 2028 Olympics in L.A. You can read her full statement on chapelboro.com. In the courts, another development in the ongoing legal fight between Florida State and the ACC over Florida State's attempt to leave the conference. A judge in Mecklenburg County has denied FSU's request to toss out the conference's lawsuit against the school. FSU argued that North Carolina State Court was not the proper venue for the lawsuit, but the judge disagreed. Back on the diamond, the Durham Bulls lost to Jacksonville last night 4-3. Bulls host the Jumbo Shrimp again tonight, first pitch at 6:35. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes gave up 3 early goals and fell to the Bruins last night 4-1. Canes are back in action tonight, hosting the Capitals at 7. And of course, it's Final Four weekend in college basketball. Big news, especially if you're an NC State fan, as the women play South Carolina tonight at 7 and the men face Purdue tomorrow at 6. City of Raleigh is going to be shutting down part of Hillsborough Street near campus for a watch party for the men's game. That'll be on Saturday.